This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by the Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicky Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today, we are headed out to Oregon's Northern Coast Range, just east of Seaside, to hike Saddle Mountain.
That's right, Vicky. Saddle Mountain is a 3,290-foot tall peak, and the trail to the top is very well traveled and quite popular. But for roughly the past 2 years or so, the recreation area has been closed for repairs.
Pretty recently, as in this past September, the trail reopened and hikers have been flocking back to Saddle Mountain, myself included. Just a few weeks ago, on a sunshine-filled Saturday, I made my way out to the trailhead with my dog Stella, my good friend Sydney, to see just why people love this trail.
I'm really excited to hear about this. I've done Saddle Mountain once before, a number of years ago, and quite liked it, but I'm really interested to hear your perspective on this, Vicky. So first of all, though, why did you choose Saddle Mountain in particular? What was the draw for you?
So basically, it was one of these days in the spring when, you know, in between all of the rain, you get these wildly beautiful weekends filled with sunshine. It's like 70 degrees, a high of 70. And you're like, all right, I'm going to hike somewhere. What trail is not covered in snow right now, you know, isn't too far of a drive, is definitely like a little day trip. And Saddle Mountain kind of like checked those boxes, also dog friendly. So I was like, this is only an hour and a half away from my front door. And also I was thinking in my head, like, what is a good season opener trail for me to hike that, you know, has a little bit of an elevation gain to get me sweating and also some nice views on this, like, gorgeous, pretty day. So anyway, Saddle Mountain was what I decided on, but also because it's recently reopened and I know that there was like a lot of hubbub around its reopening.
Yeah. I mean, this is, for all those reasons you mentioned, I think a really popular area. Saddle Mountain's, it's technically an Oregon State Park site, and people love state parks. But that is also one of the reasons it's so popular. Like you said, it, great views, convenient location, and a decent leg burner. Not like the hardest hike in the area, but like definitely a solid, solid hike.
Jamie, when was it that you hiked this trail?
Oh boy. It's a great question. I want to say like 2018, 2019, somewhere in there.
So well before the closure.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of years before the closure for sure.
Okay. So just some general stats about this trail. It's roughly 4.5. I clocked 5 miles, and it's about 1,800 feet of elevation gain. And there's a few switchbacks in this. There's the saddle of the Saddle Mountain. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, once you're at the top, you're seeing a bunch of different peaks and also the coastline.
Yeah, being able to see the ocean from there in the thick of like the Coast Range mountains is really special.
This trail was closed for the past 2 years. And Jamie, I know that you wrote a story about its reopening. Mm-hmm. So why don't we get into a little bit about why it even closed down in the first place?
Yeah, so the park originally closed to make a couple of what they said were really important repairs, which included a broken footbridge and a failed restroom. I'm not sure exactly what a failed restroom is, but it doesn't sound good. Don't like the sounds of it. While they were at it, crews also repaired and rerouted the 2.5 mile trail to the summit. They also enhanced the picnic area. They cleared some hazard trees and installed a couple of vault toilets, presumably in place of that failed restroom. They also did take out the small campsite that was there. So that was one of the reasons people like to go there. There's a really rustic campsite right there kind of at the trailhead, and that is no longer there. They said that it had become sort of an issue. It became, a place where there was lack of water to begin with, but also a lot of theft and vandalism, and it was just too hard to manage it. So that was out, but doing that work on the trail, I thought was really good, a good news to hear, because there were a couple areas in that trail that I remember that seemed a little dicey. It kind of in the saddle area too. I remember there being a footbridge there that felt like certainly safe, but like in need of some freshening up.
When I did this hike, obviously it was a beautiful day, and like I didn't expect to be the only person out on this trail, but I got there still in the morning and the entire parking lot was completely full, which I was not expecting that crowd to be here. But yeah, I mean, so right away as you're starting this trail, from the trailhead, you're just kind of like going, not straight up, but it's like, whoo, it kicks your butt straight from the start. And as someone who hasn't done a lot of hiking over the winter time, my legs were feeling it for sure. I've been doing running, but not hiking. And there is a stark difference in the muscles in your legs that are needed. Uh-huh. So I would say, yeah, it's definitely a burner of a trail with a lot of, not a lot, but a good number of elevation that you're gaining. But what I also really like about this trail is that there were like tiny little waterfalls as you're going up, and it's kind of like a little surprise, and the water kind of like runs along the trail too. So that was really cute and nice to experience. I'm not sure if this was something that they did in this repair period, because I didn't even live here when it closed down initially. But what was interesting was that there's like fencing on the trail to, I guess, prevent erosion. Was that something that you experienced, Jamie?
That does sound familiar. But again, it's been some years.
Yeah. On like a good portion of the trail, like this fencing is down, and I assume it's to prevent any rocks falling down and whatnot. But it's almost on the entirety of the trail.
Well, it sounds like they've done a lot more of that fencing, at least. I know this is an area that is like also protected for a lot of rare wildflower species. The Saddle Mountain Bittercress is one, the early blue violet. There's also it's a primary food source for the threatened silver spot butterfly. So I know they really encourage hikers to stay on the trail to help preserve that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I would bet that part of that is also keeping people from straying off into these really beautiful kind of meadow areas on the side of the trail that in the springtime have a lot of interesting wildflowers, because this is like a really protected ecosystem.
I would love to go back and see some of the wildflowers, because I can imagine like which spots exactly. Mm-hmm. They're really green, and like there was still a little bit of snow melt towards this area that was higher up. And I can just imagine that being overtaken by wildflowers with like the views in the background. But there were a lot of people on this trail using trekking poles as well, because as you're approaching the top, it is super, super steep. Like I was getting flashbacks to some of the, bigger peaks that I've climbed. And I'm just like leaning forward as I'm taking it step by step, going all the way. And even before that, there's a point where there's like a big opening leading up to the top and the peak, and you see, if you squint, it's like you can look at the top and see that there's people and like a railing up at the very top. You're like, oh my gosh, am I going all the way up there? And so yeah, essentially you're taking it step by step, doing a few switchbacks, and then you get all the way up to this amazing viewpoint that has guardrails. And for me, there were just a ton of people chilling, eating their lunch all the way at the top.
Yeah, that's such a good reward at the end. A nice kind of open area there, a lot of room for people to kind of congregate there at the top, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely slow and steady is the way to climb up Saddle Mountain, I think. When I was hiking it there at the beginning, there were a couple of these younger dudes who were running and breezed right past me and were like, hey, you know, have a nice hike, and took off. And I saw them in like half a mile of the trail, and they were hands on the knees, like breathing heavy. And I walked by them and I was like, yeah, take it easy, guys. You don't need to run up this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people do. Some people are trail runners. I've seen people do that stuff. They're very successful. But,
totally.
You know, if you're not, if that's not the thing you do, take it easy. Take your time. No rush. It's a beautiful, the whole trail is so beautiful. So, like,
yeah.
There's no reason to rush up that thing.
Also, this is just an area based on, you know, all that fencing that I mentioned. You kind of have to watch your footing, too. It's not something where you're just taking off.
Yeah.
There's also, I will say, there's parts of the fencing that was actually like curved up that made me a little nervous too, because you don't want to take your shin to some wire for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I would highly recommend this trail as something, you know, we've talked on this podcast before about like different hard hikes, but this was a great way to kind of exit winter, enter spring, and get your legs used to these hiking conditions again and kind of prepare for summer.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think the only real knock against Saddle Mountain is those crowds, like you mentioned. So you had some trouble parking. Where did you end up parking your car?
We ended up just kind of waiting it out for someone. It wasn't first thing in the morning, so there were some people coming down and just waited for a spot to open up and snagged it. But there were a ton of cars coming in after us who probably had to wait a little bit longer. Was that your experience?
I remember it being kind of getting in that same time of morning and grabbing like literally the last spot.
Yeah.
I saw like a spot and I grabbed it, but there was very few places to park. And this is a place that like we don't have like a lot of crowd data because it just reopened in September. But, you know, at least as of the last full year it was open in 2019, it drew like 216,000 day use visitors in the year, which is not like the most. I mean, like you look at a place like, you know, Fort Stevens or Oswald West, they draw a lot more than that. But that's a lot for a place that has this little tiny parking lot and, you know, just one trail. So definitely, you know, especially this time of year when the wildflowers are out, when it's nice, this is going to be a crowded place, but going a little bit later in the day, I think is a smart thing to do. Some people say, well, I'll go first thing. I'll beat everyone there. But I think a lot of people do that. So unless you get really there first thing, you're not going to beat many people there. But if you go a little bit later in the morning and it's not too hot, because this is a very exposed hike, right? For a large part of it. So if you go in the middle of the afternoon when it's really hot, it's going to be tough. But going a little later, like you said, when you get people coming down and leaving, that's a good strategy to find a spot.
Yeah, but I think this is also, you know, a great location if you were going out to the coast too, if you wanted to start your trip off or end it with a hike. This is a great middle ground area for that. Once you're at the top and you see like how close the ocean is kind of insane, because you're just, you know, you're driving on Highway 26 the whole way there, and you know that the coast is close, but you're kind of taking a side road up and you're just like, oh, I'm here somewhere in the middle. But you are that far high up in the sky once you're at the top to see the coast. Jamie, do you know of any other hikes that are pretty close to this one?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Ecola State Park. That's right on the coast. But if you keep going down 26, that leads you right into Ecola, which is between Cannon Beach and Seaside. And that's, I mean, one of the best places to go hiking on the coast, hands down. Those trails that like lead along the cliffs or like through the old forest, it's just a beautiful place. But Saddle Mountain is also kind of right there next to the Clatsop State Forest. So there's a bunch of smaller hikes in there. You know, there's a bunch of waterfalls up there too, kind of smaller waterfalls in that area. I know there's places like, you know, Soapstone Lake, or like these little lakes in Clatsop State Forest that have, you know, nothing as nearly as spectacular as you're going to find at Saddle Mountain or at Akola. But if you're looking for a hike with no people, you can find lots of them in the Clatsop State Forest. So, you know, those are great places to go. I mean, there's a lot of stuff for you know, that for people to find that's right off the highway. If you want to just get into nature, there's a lot of places you can do it. Just look for a trailhead and pop off the road and you can get there. Clutchy Creek County Park is also a spot where there used to be one of the tallest Sitka spruces in the coast, and now it's just a very enormous stump. So Clutchy Creek, if you want to see a big giant stump, that's a place to go. It's very cool.
Yeah. So I just went for this day trip, really just to do this hike with my friend. But on the way back, we obviously were very hungry after doing this kind of tough hike. And so we stopped at Camp 18. Have you stopped at Camp 18, Jamie?
Sure have, yeah.
This is something where, like, I've passed by it so many times and I'm like, that's a cool building. But, you know, Camp 18, it doesn't automatically scream restaurant. So I was like, that's like a big log building. My friend was like, I feel like we should stop there on the way back. And I was like, if they have mac and cheese, we're going to stop there. And of course, they have mac and cheese.
That's the kind of place that I would put money on them having mac and cheese. That's, How was it?
I loved it personally. It gave like just this homey feeling. I loved the big logs and like, I don't know, it's just a slice of Oregon with the whole logging history behind it. But if you aren't familiar, it's just like this huge building, and it was essentially built by this logger turned into a businessman. But once you walk inside, it's just this ginormous dining room with like the wood ceiling, a huge thick log going through the ceiling. There's like two levels, there's taxidermied animals on the walls. But I would say the menu vibes are like almost a local Cracker Barrel is what I would describe the food as. So I think I got like a tuna melt and fries, and my friend got like a beef stew and of course some Marionberry cobbler a la mode.
It's a diner basically, right?
It's a diner, but a little bit more rustic. I don't know. Yeah.
It's not like an East Coast diner for sure, but it's like home style cooking.
Yes.
Like the Cracker Barrel, right? You said, right?
Yes, exactly.
And it's a little campy in there with all of the logging stuff, which makes it fun. So, I mean, if you're into that kind of cuisine at all, and I think that's a great idea. That's a great stop, Vicky.
Yeah. Both Sydney and I were like, oh, anytime we're coming back from the coast, we're going to stop here.
So I was going to ask if you had done the opposite, if you had seen the ocean and wanted to drive out to it. You're like, I gotta get, because I have that experience a lot where I see it and I'm like, get me there, get me to the beach.
I think if we had more time, or if we were like staying the night on the coast, I would have totally, you know, been down for that. But you know, but I think I was coming back, I had to do something in Portland, so we're a little tight on time, but I had just enough time to, you know, stop at Camp 18. They have a little gift shop there too, and then we were just on our merry way back to Portland. All in all, to experience a hike that was that nice and has incredible views, and you know, be back by probably 4:35 after eating lunch too. Not too bad.
That's a great day right there.
Yeah, it really was.
So you mentioned taking Stella on this. You mentioned there being a lot of dogs on this trail. I've been curious about that. Like, how was Stella on this trail?
She did really well, and I was surprised because just like me, throughout this winter, she's been in hibernation mode. Aside from our, you know, neighborhood walks, I was a little worried. This is kind of like a big hike to come right off of winter with, but she did great. And even with other dogs, like the trail's wide enough where you can kind of like step to the side and let the other person go if that's something that you do as a dog owner, which is something that I do as a dog owner, and she was loving life. She was gassed at the top, though. She kind of like, she wanted to lay down once we were at the top of that trail. She had her water bowl and she was just like, this is nice, but I'm going to take a little break now.
Man, it sounds like this is like a new classic for you.
I think so. Yeah, I would definitely repeat this for sure. I would repeat the same exact day, honestly. Go back for my tuna melt at Camp 18 and some Marionberry cobbler. Like, name a better thing.
I won't and I can't. That sounds like a perfect day. I love that. Well, I know you're inspiring me to get back out to Saddle Mountain. It's been, you know, obviously a few years since I've done it, and my legs are itching to climb that big hill again. Yeah. I guess it's a mountain. Climb that big mountain again.
I will say that my friend used the new bathrooms and said that they were extremely clean.
And, oh, great.
The trail itself was really clean, which I always love. Like, L&T principles were in place, did not see any trash on the trail. And plus they have like huge trash bins right at the start that you can dispose of anything. So amenities wise, it was great.
Love to hear it. And listen, Oregon State Parks has a reputation, a well-earned reputation for mm-hmm. really good bathrooms. Not every state park system can say that, but the Oregon State Parks, I feel like I could do a whole episode on Oregon State Parks bathrooms because they are always so solid. And so like, I mean, hearing that like this bathroom failed, it's not, I would say, in any part of like the state park system probably for like not keeping it up, because they are, I think rightfully, very, very diligent about their bathrooms.
Yeah.
Because if you can have a nice bathroom, that's half the reason people go to these places. And that makes such a huge difference.
I'm down for an episode about it because it really does make life that much easier when you're out hiking.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, at one point I thought I was going to do a coffee table book with photos of Oregon State Park bathrooms. So maybe we'll just do a podcast episode instead.
There you go. Happy middle ground.
Well, Vicky, any other words of wisdom or anything else for folks who are thinking about tackling Saddle Mountain this spring?
My true words of wisdom are get the Marionberry cobbler at Camp 18 afterwards.
Perfect. I love it. Well, folks, you heard it here first, or maybe not even first. But you heard it here. Marionberry cobbler, Camp 18, Saddle Mountain. Have yourself a nice spring day. And until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonian's YouTube channel and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on oregonlive.com/travel, as well as hereisoregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoyed the show. And if you want to support this podcast as well as our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and you're interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show is produced by me, Vicky Connor, alongside Jamie Hale.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.